Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
I almost did different music, but tradition forbade me. I'm Andy. Good morning. 909 on KDXU. Happy Friday to you and Mello, too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Life treating you well?
Yeah, it's good. It's Friday. I'm so excited for weekend.
Yeah. Hey, some things to note about, well, this weekend. First of all, today is Flag Day. Happy Flag Day to you. So invariably, there's going to be people online. And, there's flags everywhere. What's going on? they're going to be all over. I know it. And I'm trying to, I know people, you know, Facebook has millions and millions of followers, and this show doesn't have that many, but just tell all your friends out there, it's Flag Day. If someone's wondering what's going on today, it is Flag Day. And of course, Sunday is Father's Day as well.
Mm-hmm. And Saturday is my daughter's 21st birthday.
Nice.
So it's a busy weekend.
Busy weekend. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. You're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mother's Day, the Americans spend about $37 billion on moms. Right. Father's Day, Americans spend about $22 billion on dads.
Uh huh.
What's up with that?
Dads are cheapskates, so they'll get mad if you spend too much money on them.
Well, but we're the ones spending money on you.
Right, but that's because you know better.
Wait, what?
You know that if you don't spend money on us, then we'll be mad. So it's much better just to spend the money and get the kudos and not have us be mad.
Okay.
I think.
The only thing that I don't understand, I guess, about it is usually dad presents are kind of expensive. I mean, dad wants a power tool. That's a lot cheaper than flowers or chocolates, isn't it?
I usually pick out what I want for Mother's Day.
Is it jewelry?
No, I got like a fire pit one year.
Okay.
I got a really cool thing to hang on my front porch.
You didn't get a vacuum for Mother's Day, did you? That would be...
That would suck.
I'm told that, and I have never done this. I did get my wife an appliance once, but it wasn't a vacuum. But I am told that is the ultimate faux pas. You do not give your wife something to help her with her housework on Mother's Day.
I think it just depends on what the person wants. But yeah, you wouldn't do that on purpose, no, without being told.
So I was sitting there the other day listening to my sisters talk. They were having a conversation, and they're like, I can't believe man. And I'm like, okay, here goes the man bashing. But this was a different kind of man. But they were like, I have tried and tried. I have dropped hints. I have sent emails. I have left web pages open on the screen that they were about to sit at with what I want for Mother's Day or my birthday. And they never get the hint.
You just say it. There's no hinting to two people. Like, yeah, to in true. People in general. It's not even just men.
Yeah,
if there's something true. You want, just verbalize it. There's no crime.
Cut through the BS. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just say what I want. I'm like, I'd really like this. Because one year I actually wanted to get one of those Google Homes for Christmas.
What's a Google Home?
So it's like a device, and it has like a screen on it, and you can actually play videos on it. It's like a Google where you say, hey, Google, play such and such a song.
Oh, okay.
So one of those, but it's a bigger screen. And I really wanted one. And I had been telling my husband, but he always shops the day before Christmas with his brother. So I was like, there is no way there is going to be a Google Home. So I preemptively bought myself one. And then I opened my gift at Christmas, and he's like, why don't you open that one next? And it was a Google Home. He'd actually bought it.
So you had two?
So I had
you
two. I had to return one. Yeah, the walk of shame back into the store after Christmas.
Did he know that you already had one? Probably not at the time.
No, no, I did not tell him.
You never told him?
No.
Until now, it's on radio, and he's going to
find
out.
Well, no, he knew because I opened two in a row.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I opened the one I bought myself, and I wrapped.
You opened that before you opened his?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He was a little unhappy. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it wasn't cheap either.
No, well, it was like $300, I think.
Yeah, that's not cheap.
No.
Maybe, I don't know where you come from. Where I come from, that's not cheap.
No, but I definitely wanted it, and I dropped hints, and I knew that if he shopped on Christmas Eve, he wouldn't get it, so I was just making my Christmas pleasant.
And then he got it.
And then he got it, and yeah. I was like, I guess I'll keep yours and return mine.
We're going to talk about Father's Day a little bit more. I did want to talk about Flag Day for a minute, though. So Flag Day is celebrated in America on June 14th every year, commemorating the day the first flag resolution was passed. That was in June 14th, 1777. Listen, 1 year after Bessie Ross had received the order from General George Washington to make the first flag, the Second Continental Congress passed a flag resolution, and here's what the resolution says, quote, resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, of course we have a few more than that now, white on a blue field representing a new constellation. The first new national observance of Flag Day was exactly 100 years to the day after the flag resolution was first adopted by Continental Congress. And yeah, happy Flag Day to you all. It's weird because Richard Nixon declared it a national holiday, Flag Day. But it's one of those weird holidays that you talk about it, but nobody gets a day off of work, and right. We don't have barbecues and stuff like it's just.
Yeah, that's true. There are no barbecues.
Yeah.
We should change that. Everybody have a barbecue today.
Yeah. My wife, by the way, is at girls' camp right now. So
oh.
Yeah, if I have a barbecue, I'd be like by myself and be kind of sad.
Oh, that'd be a sad barbecue.
Yeah.
Maybe you should.
Although I got to tell you, last night, and two things. Last night I made. My wife doesn't dig anything with a lot of garlic because it gives her really bad indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this super garlicky French bread pizza thing yesterday. I made it myself at home, and I was like, yeah, she'd have never eaten this, but no. It sure was good. And tonight I'm going to get one of my favorite dishes here in town. I don't know if I should I give the restaurant
should.
Free advertising?
Yeah, you should. I want to know where it is.
Okay. There's a place by the mall called Jaybird's.
Okay, I have not been there yet.
They make something called the Mac Daddy. It is, okay, picture this. Bun on the bottom, bun on top, huge chicken breast that has been, you know, fried chicken. And then you can tell them how hot you want it. You say, I want it medium, or I want hot, or I want a soup, whatever. So I usually get the hot, and then they put a big giant scoop of macaroni and cheese on top of the chicken. And then put the bun on top. And that reaction just gave me the disgusting face.
No.
That's exactly the face my wife gives when I talk about this. But I'm telling you, and my dad doesn't like macaroni, but, you know, so he doesn't want to go there either. But I'm telling you, I love this thing, and I don't get to go there because everybody I know thinks it's disgusting.
Yeah, I can't even, like, I would never on my plate say, oh, maybe I'll cut up my fried chicken with my macaroni and cheese and stir it all together. And
yeah.
That's essentially what you're doing.
That sounds good. Oh. That sounds great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should do that when she's out of town. I concur.
She's out of town, so my dad and I are going there. He's not going to get the Mac Daddy because he doesn't like macaroni, but he agreed, yeah, we can go to Jaybird's and you can get that and I'll get something else.
So, yeah, more palatable.
Mac Daddy. Yeah. Plus, it makes me feel macho and studly. Yeah. I'm ordering a Mac Daddy.
That's right.
I said everybody I know doesn't like it. That's not true. I took a friend there once. Troy used to do, he had the barbecue pit stop here in town. Mm-hmm. He has a different business now, but we meet for lunch occasionally, and he loved it like I did.
Really?
So, yeah, he's like, I approve. Got a little thumbs up, you know, a little Facebook thumbs up and everything on that. So maybe I'll call Troy today. Hey, what are you up to, Troy? And
yeah.
So, anyway, about Father's Day. Now, you were talking about a gift for Father's Day that I'm like, we got to do that one of these days. It's a Father's Day bobblehead.
Yeah.
A custom bobblehead. And now I looked I don't know if this is the site you were talking about, but there's a site called bobbleheadcraft.com.
Yes.
I cannot say I endorse this company. If you order something and get ripped off, I apologize. I don't mean to promote them because I've never ordered anything from them. But
me either.
Their website looks great, and what they do looks pretty amazing. So you send them a picture of you, presumably.
Or your dad.
Or your dad, yeah. And they hand paint on a bobblehead the person.
Yeah, and it's like your likeness.
Yeah. And then they package it up and send it home. And they have all kinds of... So you don't get to pick the body, right? Because I'd pick a bigger guy. But they're all just kind of generic-sized bodies with big heads, big bobbleheads on them. But you do get to pick. They have hundreds of different poses or whatever.
Yeah, I also saw, like, I didn't actually go to the website. I saw it through Instagram. And there's, you send the picture and they copy the picture is the one I saw.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's a different site. I just Google bobbleheads.
They don't hand draw it then?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just saw the picture and it looks just like the person.
Yeah, well, you know.
And like their shirt.
That's what, oh, really? The shirt and everything? Okay.
Right, it matches the picture.
This one I think they just do the head to match the person.
Yeah, this is like a whole body. Like so, you can get their whole body.
Kind of a cool gift for Father's Day. At this point, though, I'm like, well, yeah, get it for dad. If you ordered it now, it'd be a couple of weeks, and right. It would be a very, very late present.
I always remember too late.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing, isn't it? We're like, oh, I'm gonna order that. Oh yeah, Father's Day is in 2 days. I'm not gonna order it this year.
I thought it was next weekend for reals. I really did.
You and Shelly have been talking. She was the same way yesterday. Wednesday, we're at lunch and. She's like, I'm going to think about ordering something for Father's Day. I'm like, oh, it's not going to get here in time. She's like, sure it will. Father's Day is a week from Sunday. I said, no, Father's Day is this Sunday. She's like, it is? Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure? She actually gave me the, are you sure? And then started looking it up on her phone.
I had to look on the calendar yesterday.
But yeah. It is this Sunday. So, honor your dad if you would, folks. Father's Day, I do have a little bit of Father's Day trivia for you. See, Father's Day was officially a holiday. In 1972, Father's Day was recognized as a being an American day to honor dads. It's not a holiday. We don't get the days off. Of course, it's on a Sunday anyway. And it was originally started by Sonora Dodd, whose dad was a Civil War veteran. She wanted to bring some publicity to her father and just let people know that her dad was a pretty amazing guy in the Civil War. This was back in 1910. They would celebrate Father's Day in her home state out there in Virginia for a while until finally it caught on nationally.
That's really cool. I always thought Hallmark made all those kind of holidays.
Well, I think Hallmark promoted them because it meant they got to sell more stuff.
But
all right, so we have some key figures about dads for you here on the Andy Griffin Show. And by the way, if you want to comment about your dad or you want to tell stories about your dad or whatever, you can call 673-5890 and talk to Mello and we'll put you on the air. Or you can text me at 467-5842. Pew Research did a survey on dads, and a couple of results are not surprising. A couple of them are a little bit surprising. Here's the first one. Dads overwhelmingly view being a parent as an important aspect of their personal identity. And I'm sitting there going, what about the absentee dads and the dads that, divorced family? You have a family. How, I don't want to be too personal here,
but
your ex, how much of a dad is he to his kids?
He has an activity, like he takes them out to a cabin once a year and he reaches out to them and talks to them, probably not as often as he should. It's harder when you're further away, I think. It's harder when you're divorced and you live in a different state, I think.
That's true. That's true. In this survey, 85% of dads say that being a parent is one of or the most important aspect of who they are as a person. That makes me feel like this wasn't done in the 70s or the 50s. This was in 2022 is when the survey was conducted. So this is a modern deal. I like the results of that. It's interesting. Okay. And I'm going to ask you, you have no idea the answer to this question, but I'm going to throw it at you and see what your guess is. The number one, what do dads spend the most time doing with their kids?
Roughhousing.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually, roughhousing or playing with their kids.
Right, playing, yeah.
Is number one. Number two is helping the kids with some kind of self-care, especially if their children are under the age of 8. Mm. So, teaching, helping them with to brush their teeth or take a bath or changing diapers or whatever it may be. That's the number two activity that that dads do with kids. And way down the list, only 5 minutes a day average, do dads help dads read to children?
My husband reads to our son.
Yeah.
He helps him with his reading, which is awesome. Maybe because I work a lot, but he does take the time to read with him, and I love that, to see them reading together.
I love reading to my kids and now my grandkids. I feel like it's a way to bond with them because we don't – I don't know how your husband is, but when we sit down and read a book, we don't sit there and read the words and just go, and that's it. I'm like, hey, do you see the birdie? Or where's the duck? Or where's where's the fire engine or whatever? Mm-hmm. So reading isn't just I'm reading to them. It's an interactive experience.
Right. And I'm sure you go rawr for the dinosaur and stuff like yeah. that too.
For a long time, we had this giant book. It basically is a story of a kid who has chicken pox and gets sent home from school. And he encounters three giants and walking through the forest on the way home, and they're all going to get him, but then they see that he has chicken pox and they run away scared, and each giant is larger than the next. So I love doing the voices for the giants.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So fact number three from the survey: the more children a couple has, the more likely the husband is to be the family breadwinner. That's interesting.
That's not surprising, though.
No, but I would go non-traditional with my family and maybe yours, too. My wife, most of my life, has made more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I work nights and weekends. She worked days, and we were okay with that. It worked out for us.
I think childcare is so expensive, though, so you at least need one parent home. So if you can make it work the way you guys did, that makes sense.
Agreed. And I know it's not realistic for every family. Right. But if you can find a way to have your kid with either mom or dad at all times, we caved early on, you know, when we were in school and stuff, we needed some help with babysitting and stuff. But 95% of our kids being raised, they were with mom or dad all the time.
I know. Yeah, I really, I already had 6 kids when I got married. And so I really didn't want to have any more kids because I was 40 when I got remarried. And the only reason I agreed is because I knew that this guy that I married was going to be the best dad. And he has not disappointed. So he's a great dad.
Very cool. This is not surprising, but except for the number is a little bit. So number 4, most Americans say it's best for children when their mom and dad both are a part of the child rearing process. That's 77%. And I'm like, okay, that's good. And then I'm like, wait a minute. So 23% of people say it's best for the kid if they're not both there.
Maybe that's people that have the experience of only having one person, so that's their answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is interesting.
Don't most kids who didn't have a dad at home wish they did?
Right.
I would think they would.
Yeah. My 2 girls that grew up without their dad there, after we got divorced, they were younger, they have struggled more than my other kids that had the nuclear family.
Yeah. All right, number 5, fathers are more likely than mothers to feel judged by their spouse or partner for how they parent their children. That's an interesting psychological thought there. So I never really thought about it that way, but yeah, I mean, you're not putting on a show, but you know that your spouse is thinking about how, I mean, you just talked about my husband is a good dad.
Yeah, I think it's because, and I don't know that men don't do this as much, but women, because they're so nurturing, it just comes so automatically to them. And then when they see the husband in that role, sometimes you'll give a look really, you're going to do that, but you don't say anything. So they're feeling the judgment, you know, when you pass a glance at them, wow, okay.
Here's an interesting one. Last one on the survey, and then we'll move on. But I thought this was fascinating. Dads place a high priority on what? What would you think? The number 1 and number 2 things that dads want to teach their kids.
Sports.
Okay, that's not in the top 2.
They're not Finlinsons then. they want to teach their kids?
Number 1 thing that dads want to teach their kids is to be honest and ethical.
Okay. I was going to say a good person, but that's better. Honest and ethical.
Number 2 is to work hard. And I can tell you those 2 things without defining them, those were incredibly important to me. I wanted my kids to raise, number 1, to be honest, and number 2, to work hard. Mm-hmm. I had to, I don't know, it's something psychological about me, but I did not ever want somebody's employer or scout leader or church leader or whatever to come to me and say, boy, your kid sure is lazy. That would have broken my heart. So it was so important for me to teach my kids to work hard.
Yeah, that is hard. I have one child who doesn't like to work. And it's really hard for me. I'm like, you have to work. But I don't want to work. I'm like, Well, this is not a free breakfast.
Let me guess, about around 20.
Yeah,
that seems to be the age, yeah.
I'm like, you get to work, and it's an opportunity, and you are willing and able. Well, not willing, but you're able, so get to it.
And when you get that check comes, guess what? You get to buy stuff.
I know, and then she just got her check, and it was only $75. Like, I only got $75. I'm like, yeah, that's because you asked for this day off, this day off, this day off, and then your birthday off. So that's why you're broke. There you go.
So my daughter, my number four child, so the older daughter of mine, just took a job. But I say just, she's had it about a month. And it is, it's supposed to be 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., which is a rough deal anyway. She's working at a bakery and a grocery store.
That's right.
Is up in Provo. But basically, they are short-staffed, way short-staffed. And they asked her if she would go ahead and take care of all the bakery stuff in this store as long as it takes, and they'll pay her overtime and just take care of it until they can get enough staff up to relieve her a little bit. And they asked her to work 14 days in a row while they hire someone. So she is, I think today is like day 12 or 13 of the 14 in a row, and she has been working between 10 and 14 hours a night. So she's been going in about midnight and getting off around noon or so. And I got to tell you, Mello, I'm pretty proud of her.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Occasionally she'll complain, she'll text, oh, I'm so tired and this, that, and the other thing. But I'm just really proud of her that when it's time to get the job done. And I always told my kids this. Look, I like to relax and chill, like with the best of them. When it's time to put my feet up, oh yeah, I love it. But when it's time to get the job done, get her done. And
yes.
And my daughter's getting it done.
I love that.
The other thing, though, she works. This is kind of funny. She works at Crumbl part time. She worked at Crumbl for a long time as a shift manager, and she loves working at Crumbl because you get free cookies, and it's just, you know, Crumbl's a happy place, right? Yeah. And you go get cookies. Everybody's happy with cookies. And she did not quit her Crumbl job. And so amid all these hours of working, she would work like a 4-hour shift at Crumbl's 2 or 3 times a week. And she would go, oh, I don't want to go to Crumbl. And I'm like, well, why don't you quit? And her answer is, well, you know, I don't quit because I like Crumbl and I want to work there. And I'm like, yeah, but you're killing yourself for a cookie and you're making enough money now at this grocery store, time and a half for, you know, 4 hours a day, time and a half. You can go buy as many cookies as you want. So anyway, I think working hard is pretty darn important, and I'm proud of my daughter for doing it. And I'm also, I have my other kids are honest and ethical, and I think they, try to do what's right, and that's important to me too. But I will say this, that my daughter working hard has kind of made me go, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
she learned
I did it.
That. Yeah,
that's so awesome. We have Doug on line one. He wants to talk about that too.
Yeah, all right, Doug, fire away. What's up, man?
Yes, good morning, Andy. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Excellent, thanks. Excellent. It just occurred to me, so I thought I'd call in. Isn't it ironic of how we have to remind our kids that you need to work hard to get ahead?
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, that was just a kind of a given. But
that's what you did.
I've sure seen it with the generation growing up alike. Man, oh man, these kids that they don't want to work. It reminds me of an old says, oh man, I was coming here to hire for, I wanted a job. I didn't tell you I wanted to work. Anyway.
Yeah. Can I draw that paycheck? Yeah.
So.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Yeah, that, you know, it amazes me. I actually we had an intern here a few years back for the news job. And honestly, if she had fulfilled her duties as an intern, we would have offered her the job right out of college.
Mm.
She was a senior in college. She was working here a couple of days a week helping with the news. And she didn't even know she was going to be on the air, but she was good enough. We put her on the air. All right, this is working out well. And honestly, when she first started, I'm like, she's our next news person. She is going to be the one that inherits a job. She's fantastic. And then about a week and a half, 2 weeks in, I went to a news break, and my news person was supposed to be here, was not here.
Oh, no.
And so I played some other story or whatever, and then I called out to her. I'm like, hey, you just missed the news break. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. She was doing something on Instagram or something. And she's like, sorry, I missed it. I'll try not to let that happen again. It happened again like a week later.
No.
And then the next week, she didn't show up for work one day. And so, I had someone else who was helping like train her because I was on the air, and he said, he texted her and asked her, is she coming in? She said, nah, I didn't feel like coming in today.
Stop it.
I'm like, what? You what? I didn't feel like coming in today. And she did that three times over the next 3 weeks. And this was 2020. This was like January, February, 2020. March, we know what happened in March, mm-hmm. 2020. COVID hit. Things went crazy. People were staying home, including her. She actually went back home to California to be with her family for a while. And I had to call her, and this was tough. I called her and I said, hey, how's it going? And she's like, fine. And I said, and she said, I sure do miss you guys. I miss coming in the mornings and doing news with you guys and stuff. And I'm like, well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I said, when this whole COVID thing, you know, we get through it all and everything, we're not going to have you come back. And she was like, what? Why? What? I thought I was doing a great job. And she just was going on and on. And I hate firing people. I've had to do it a few times in my life. And it's not fun.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of time, some people will take it really well. Okay. And then they'll move. Other people just, and she did not take it well. She was going on and on. And I finally said, well, look, you had three instances where you didn't show up because you didn't feel like it. And you had two other instances where we went to news and you weren't there. This is radio. We can't.
You have to be reliable.
Yeah, it's not magical and you can just come in there whenever you feel like it. And at that point, after I said that to her, she was kind of like, oh, okay. Mm. And that was it. I haven't talked to her since. That was the last time I talked to her.
That's hard.
That was 4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, work hard. Make your parents proud. And yeah. I can tell you this, when Dad says, I don't need any presents on Father's Day, he means it. A hug, a kiss, whatever. If you work hard, if you represent the family name, that's all the present we need.
That's sweet.
All right, let's check weather.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello is with me today on this Open Line Friday. If you want to call, give us a call, 673-5890. You can text me, as always, at 467-5842. A couple of the news items. First of all, Leah Thomas. That's not his real name. The guy that identifies as a woman and won numerous awards and races as a man with male parts, but competing as a woman because he feels like a woman. Man, I feel like that's a Shania Twain song. Anyway, Leah Thomas has been denied admittance to the U.S. Olympics women's swimming team.
Good.
The Olympics said once a male has entered any part of puberty, whatever age that may be, they cannot participate in any women's sports at the Olympic level, period. So, yeah, Leah Thomas is out. Yeah, I thought this was interesting. This was a tweet from Leah Thomas's teammate in college. Okay, but is anyone going to apologize for forcing us to undress with him 18 times a week?
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Enough of this garbage.
So I did hear a little thing. I don't know if you heard about. You were talking about Miss Rachel, that your kids love Miss Rachel.
Yes, Miss Rachel.
And do you remember that one person that was also identifying as a woman for Budweiser? Was it Dylan? Dylan Mulvaney?
Mulvaney, yeah.
So I guess she sent a tweet or something out to Dylan saying she'd like to meet up or something. And so she's had a big backlash against her
So Miss Rachel is very traditional, married woman, you know, professor of... I respect her credentials. However, she has a person on her show that plays guitar and sings that I don't know that it's that appropriate for our kids to be looking at, because it is definitely a transgender type person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does not surprise me that she approves of this kind of thing.
Yeah, so there's just a little bit of backlash, just letting you know so your grandkids aren't exposed to that.
Yeah. It's interesting. So my daughter-in-law is very clinical. She was a nurse, so she's very clinical. They have the official real names, the body parts and everything, and I would be very curious as to how she would explain all that to these little four-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All right, the other kind of big thing in the news was, so sponsorship has touched all areas of the sports world, right? You even have now, there's little logos on the fronts of uniforms. You look at the bowl games, you know, it's the Fiesta Bowl for, you know, for Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. You have the, you know, the Outback Bowl and all the different bowls that are now sponsored. You look at a NASCAR, you know, those things are covered in advertising. But one area that's been untouched to this point has been conferences, college football, basketball conferences, like the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC, the Mountain West, et cetera. Well, the Big 12 announced yesterday, or actually, it was yesterday afternoon, that they are going to seek a name sponsor for their conference. They said they still want to keep the name Big 12, but then add in the, for instance, the Big 12 by Dr. Pepper, or the Big 12 by Ford, or presented by Ford, or something like that. Well, as you might imagine, the internet and social media went crazy with this idea, and there are all kinds of names floating around. For instance, how about the Whataburger What a Conference Bowl? the Whataburger What a Conference. Let's see what else. The Flying J Big 12, the Maverick Big 12, the Big 12 Swig Conference. Or this person said, hey, how about this one? A phenomenal out-of-conference matchup today between the Big Ten and the Little Caesars Pizza. Try our new pretzel crust today, 12 conference.
It's so true. There are people that are so funny on the internet. I sometimes just troll the comments just to get a little laugh.
Perhaps a little bit of irony is the Big 12 doesn't actually have 12 teams. They're just known as the Big 12. But with Oklahoma and Texas leaving, they were down to 10, but then you had the addition of four other teams and then four new teams this year with Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. There are now 16 teams in the Big 12.
Mm. Okay.
So I know they're really tied to the Big 12 number, but there aren't 12. There haven't been 12. There was 14 last year. There's 16 this year. I don't know.
That'd be hard to change it every time. Different numbers come in and out, though.
It would. And you know, the Big Ten has, I think, 12 teams. but they call themselves the Big Ten.
That
doesn't make sense. But it's part of tradition. You know, when you think of the Big Ten, you think, you know, Illinois and Wisconsin and Northwestern and Ohio State and Michigan. You know, the tradition. Big 12 is Oklahoma State and Texas and Kansas. And now it's like, you know, you throw all that away. It doesn't matter anymore, apparently. Big 12 wants to sell their soul to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, for years, stadiums were named after, they were honored people, you know. Your stadium was named after a big donor, or it was named after a great coach. And, you know, Lavelle Edwards Stadium, et cetera. And most stadiums now have sold out, even right here at the Greater Zion Stadium. And no fault to Greater Zion, more power, you know, tourism. But, you know, it's not Hanson Stadium. It's not Utah Tech Stadium or Dixie Stadium. It's Greater Zion Stadium.
Right.
Money talks, right?
Yeah. Do you know that police officer that was killed?
Hoosier, yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about naming something after him in Santa Quinn, which I thought was pretty nice.
And that's how it should be. Shouldn't we still be honoring people for bravery and remembering them instead of...
Right, the highest bidder.
Here's your check.
Yep.
All right, commercial break. More after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
You're not supposed to point out your own mistakes, but I was listening to that commercial.
I was, too, the irony.
And it's funny, the whole commercial long, I say KDXU, KDXU, KDXU. I said it like five times, and then the last time I just noticed this, I don't say KDXU, I say KDXU.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. I was like, how did I miss that? And why would I even say it like that? But yeah, I guess that was because, you have 60 seconds. You've got the thing you've got to get in a short amount of time. And I guess I was trying to hurry. I said, like, so if you want to advertise on KDXU, I just noticed it.
I didn't notice it.
So I only got a few minutes left. I want to tell you guys and Mello about a couple of heroes. Father's Day is this weekend. And by the way, happy Father's Day, Dad. My dad's a fantastic guy. A great guy. Still with us. 89 years old. Strong and spry and happy and great. And I love you, Dad. A few years ago, my son sent me a link to a song. He likes to do that. Hey, Dad, I heard this great song. I want you to hear it, too. You know, that's what kids do, right? And the song was, it was a song. And I don't know the song anymore. I don't know the artist, but it was a song by a country artist about how great his dad was, right? And I actually, this is how we are sometimes. I was like, why would you send this to me? I'm not a great dad. And he's like, no, you're the greatest dad. I'm like, no, I'm just a regular dad. I'm not like super dad or anything like that. And I wasn't trying to be humble. I never considered myself a great dad. And I've heard my dad say the exact same thing before. I wasn't a great dad. I just, did what I had to do or whatever. And the truth is, a lot of times it falls on the dad to be the guy who has gone a lot working, making money, doing whatever it is. But, the fact that dad stayed around, my dad and me as a dad, and my sons now as dads, stayed around and took responsibility and tried hard and tried to do the best for their kids, I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. I know we don't give ourselves enough credit on those types of things. And the statistics have borne out again and again, a family with a dad who is involved in their kids' lives, it makes a huge difference in those kids. So happy Father's Day, Dad, and to my sons on this coming Father's Day on Sunday. A couple of dads I wanted to tell you about, Mello. First one is a guy by the name of Terry Bagley. Terry Bagley, 70 years old, father of, five kids and grandfather as well. He's walking. He works at a veteran's home. Here's a Marine veteran, right? He works at a veteran's home taking care of other veterans. Pretty cool. That makes him heroic right there. But anyway, he was walking home from work. He was going to stop by a grocery store and pick up a couple of things. It was right around Thanksgiving last year. And he heard an explosion across the street and then an apartment building, like a duplex. They have row homes there. It was basically a row home was on fire. So what did Terry Bagley do? What would you and I do? We'd call 911 and then we'd wait maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Terry Bagley, first thing he did was sprint across the street. Now, mind you, he's 70 years old. Sprint across the street, go in the building to see if there are people in there.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a 43-year-old mom and her 16-year-old daughter inside. Mm-hmm. And he helped. Even though there was major fire burning and the roof was collapsing around him, he helped them get out of the house safe. Now, they were injured, but they weren't injured seriously. But Terry, on the way out, part of the building collapsed on him, broke his, list of injuries, broken pelvis, broken femur, broken hand that will require surgery, and smoke inhalation and burns. Mm. He was put in a medically induced coma and will have to have surgeries for as long as a 70-year-old body can survive to try to help him recover. But what a hero, right?
Yeah.
70-year-old Terry Bagley. Another one is a guy you don't hear about very often. Let's see if I can get to the right page. This guy, and I have to be careful how I say his name because it's one of those names. If you slip, you could find yourself in a little bit of trouble. But his name was Eugene Fleckey, F-L-U-C-K-E-Y. Eugene Fleckey. They called him Lucky Fleckey. Mm-hmm. He was a commander of a submarine in World War II. And during the course of his command of a submarine in World War II, he sunk dozens and dozens of enemy ships. But one of the things they don't tell you about was the time that Lucky Flucky actually blew up a train. You're like, wait a minute, submarine. How does a submarine blow up a train?
Mm-hmm.
So Flucky somehow got his submarine to go inside a Japanese base under the water, obviously. So he's inside their territory, their waters.
Mm-hmm.
And he commissioned a group, and he wasn't part of the group, but he put the group together, and they took a bunch of the bombs that they used, the torpedoes, whatever, that they used to blow ships up, And he had the, he took the explosives out of these things, and he gave each one of these guys some of these explosives, and he said, this base, we found through intelligence, this base has a supply train that is supposed to come in the next day. And he says, I want you guys, and he got a team of 16 guys, two teams really of 8 guys each, gave them all this explosives and said, go blow up the train. And so they took a rowboat from their submarine,
wow,
rowed ashore, put the explosives on the train, rowed back, and just as they were getting back in their submarine, the train blew up, and it blew, some say, they're saying 200 feet in the air. And so Lucky Flucky, Eugene Lucky Flucky, became the first submarine commander ever to blow up a train while commanding a submarine. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I like that story. You can read more about the story on the website intellectualtakeout.org, where they have a nice picture of Eugene Lucky Flucky. And notice I have been very careful how I say his name, and I have not bombed it yet. And so I'm not going to say his name again in case I do screw it up. But
don't press your luck.
Good job, Eugene. Mr. Lucky himself. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Flag Day today, first of all. And I hope you're proud to be an American. We have an election coming up. We'll talk more about the election next Friday as we get close. Most of us already have our ballots. Some of us have even filled them out and sent them in already. I have not filled mine out and sent them in already. I think there's like seven or eight races on our ballots, and I've decided on all but one of them who I'm going to vote for. So I'm waiting on that last one to get some input. And then we're actually going to have a few candidates on next week as well on the show. Not next Friday, but during the course of next week. So that'll be fun. Mello, thanks for your help today.
Yeah, thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Happy Father's Day this weekend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think it's going to be a great day. I was going to, real quickly, we have a few seconds here, go over next week. Let's see. Next Monday is Jack Lancaster. Next Tuesday, former Congressman Chris Stewart will be on the show with me. Next Wednesday, Sean Christensen from the Chamber of Commerce will be on, along with Dave Romer a little bit later in the show, talking how to safely store your firearm. I guess there was a study out this week something like 60-something percent of people in homes don't store their firearms correctly, which means locking them away when you're at home. So we need to do better about that. All right, Mel, out of time. Thanks for coming.
Okay, have a great day.